Welcome to the Software Process and Measurement Cast 29. Sorry for the delay. I was in India and I was overwhelmed by the sights, sounds, and people.
My name is Tom Cagley, and together we'll explore the varied worlds of software process improvement and measurement on the Spamcast. The cast will cover topics that deal with the challenges of how work is done in information technology organizations as they grow and evolve. The show will combine commentaries, interviews, your feedback to serve up ideas, opinions, options, advice, and even occasionally facts. In a nutshell, the cast provides advice for and from practitioners, methodologists, pundits, and consultants.
Show 29 begins a two-part interview with Murali Chimaturi on the topic of estimation. This is not the first time that the Software Process and Measurement Cast has examined estimation. However, I think you'll find Murali's thoughts will add to your knowledge base and might even spark a heated debate. The essay is titled Responsibility. Got some? As usual, we'll conclude with information on upcoming conferences, comments from listeners, and notes on upcoming casts. Voice messages can be left at 1-206-888-61111. Program that number into your cell phone. Call early and often. Email addresses, Twitter IDs can be found in the show notes. Some disclaimers during the interviews. The views expressed by my interviewees are theirs and theirs alone, no matter how wonderful they are. The views and opinions expressed by me are mine and do not represent those of my employers or other third parties. However, if you'd like to borrow my views and opinions, I am always happy to share with a little attribution. The essay on the Software Process and Measurement Cast 29 is titled Responsibility. Got some? The text of the essay can be found at www.tcagley.wordpress.com. Comments and corrections are welcome. Responsibility, Got Some by Thomas M. Cagley Jr. Communities are built on a web of relationships and specifically identified responsibilities. A web that creates hierarchies within the community, boundaries around the community, and generates peer pressure that enforces behavior. Blurring the specificity of responsibility changes the dynamic of a community, and I would suggest that the impacts of these changes are not good. The problem is that not everyone in the community wishes to accept responsibility, and that living and working within a community requires responsibility. Committees can be a means of dispersing the spotlight of responsibility. Committees, by their nature, require agreement and consensus, which can be used to distribute the responsibility for decisions. Distribution of responsibility can lead to diffused accountability. What happens when managers use committees as a tool to diffuse responsibility for process improvement initiatives? Most process improvement initiatives are guided by steering and governance committees. Committees like steering committees, or EPGs, engineering process groups, are supposed to act as a nexus to focus the voice of the customer. Customers include management, developers, and anyone else that uses or contributes to work within your community. When the evil alter ego of these decision-making bodies raises its ugly head, they become tools to blunt and diffuse the responsibility for change. Process improvement projects become troubled. Committees can make sense as a gravity well to focus the requirement for change. This is not just opinion. Frameworks such as the CMMI use committees in various shapes to provide governance and guidance. However, when leadership is replaced by consensus-driven management, committees become a tool to deflect responsibility for change, which is a disservice both to the organization as well as the individuals that see change as the path to the future rather than the end of an era. Does using committees as a tool to diffuse responsibilities affect process improvement initiatives more than other projects? One of the three requirements for change is a trigger to change immediately. Triggers are effective only when responsibility can be attached. Therefore, change can only happen effectively when responsibilities are part of the trigger. Are process improvement programs affected more dramatically when responsibilities are diffused? Simple logic suggests the answer is yes, because process improvement programs are focused on changing your larger community. I suggest loudly that you assign and focus responsibilities or suffer the consequences. Comments and feedback are welcome. Please leave voice messages at 1-206-888-6111. It is my intent to share all voice messages and emails. The interview on Spamcast 29 is with Murali Cimituri. This is part one of a two-part interview on estimation. A summary of Murali's CV includes over 34 years of total experience, out of which 14 years was in information technology, having worked with Tata for 5.5 years and Electronics Corporation of India for 19.5 years. He's also worked for Satyam, Metamore, and Vistatari Business. He's also the chief consultant of Cimituri Consulting. Professional memberships include a fellow of the Indian Institution of Industrial Engineering, senior member of the Computer Society of India, member of the All India Management Association, and the member of the IEEE. And hopefully sometime in the future, a member of the International Function Point Users Group. Murali's CV continues with a long list of publications, including a soon-to-be-released book on estimation. We will review that on a future Spamcast. I estimate you'll be enthralled for the next 16 minutes. It's time for the interview. Murali, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. How are you today?
Tom, thank you for asking. I'm doing very fine in my greatest elements.
Excellent. Let's dive right into the interview.
Okay.
A basic question, I know, but why estimate? Why estimate at all? Are estimates really needed, especially in this wonderful world where people are now doing agile and all sorts of different methodologies? Are estimates really needed anymore?
Yeah, Tom. You know, we need to estimate for basically three reasons. The first one is we give assistance for pricing. You know, pricing is a decision, commercial decision, taken based on the situation at hand. But if the marketers or the management, whoever is taking the pricing decision, knows how much it costs to the organization, even approximately, they can take a proper decision to manage the profit effectively. That is one reason we estimated the project acquisition stage to give the idea of how much it is costing so the management or marketing can take a right decision to manage the profit. Second reason we need to estimate is what resources do we need? Resources in terms of person power, that is how many human resources do we need? What skill sets do we need? When we need them? And also the time resource, how much calendar time do we need? How much person hour time we need? And also the other equipment like computers, what software we need, what system software, what development tools we need. So for this reason, we do estimate for planning. Third, you know, we have to make the delivery commitments. The pricing may be a decision, but delivery is a commitment that we make to the customer. And this has to be made right. Otherwise, the client will not be able to plan his own activities. Once we deliver the software, he will have the other activities of creating the masters, training the users, rolling out the system, procuring the hardware and system software. So we need to make delivery commitments a little accurately. That is why we estimate. So basically, summing up, we estimate for three reasons: pricing assistance, resource estimation, and making delivery commitments to the customer. Yep, I agree. Estimates are needed term.
As a general rule, I don't think anyone would believe that estimates are not needed.
We've worked on estimates as software engineers ever since the first piece of code was written. We've put in methodologies, tools, all sorts of different ways to try to get better at estimating. However, I would suggest that we have not gotten significantly better at estimating. Why do you think organizations, people have so much trouble with estimating?
Yeah, Tom, I agree with you. You know, there has been one thing that has been evading all of us. That is a common unit of measuring the size of the software. How do we measure the size of the software? Can I say so much software, just like, you know, you are running marathon, you know, 42 kilometers or 26 miles is being run. But how much software is being delivered? You know, the original thing has been lines of code. But then again, lines of code had the issues of a physical line or logical line. And how about the commenting lines? How do we declare the variables? It got controversy. Then came along the function point analysis, which has now the biggest following of all the size measures that we have got. That is the reason why we are not able to estimate. If we know this is the unit of measurement, this can be measured by using this. Size measurement would have been easy, but it has not been so. Second, and I think the major reason, is the software engineers and software professionals have been reluctant to use the specialists. If you go to manufacturing industry or construction industry for that matter, a cost estimation has been the job of cost accountants. A specialized discipline also has been there in cost and works accountants. You know, software industry, to the extent that I have seen, has not been using these professionals for cost estimation. Second, the norms for estimation have been set in all other industries by industrial engineering professionals. And software industry, I have not seen industrial engineering engineers working for setting up the norms. You know, the industry has not been using the professionals, and the size measure has been evasive, and the concept of productivity itself has not been properly understood by the software development industry. We have been relying on past records, how much we have taken for that project and how much manpower we have spent, and let us take that figure as productivity. You know, there is a bit of confusion about these aspects in the industry. And I think that is the reason why we have not made significant strides in software estimation. You're right. There is scope for improvement, and we need to do that.
One argument that organizations make when it comes to a discussion of having estimation professionals is that many organizations don't have enough estimation volume to actually keep someone busy all the time. Therefore, they tend to use non-professional people to do that. If an organization didn't have the volume required to actually keep a software or a project estimation specialist busy, what would you advise them to do to actually use a specialist versus just trying to remember how to do it over time?
Tom, come on. You know, software industry or IT industry per se, it has been employing the largest number of contractors. Agree with me? USA's all H-1B visas are taken over by software professionals. Nowadays, with the consultancy organizations coming in, you really do not have to employ them full-time on the roles. You know, you can call up a consulting company and say, give me an industrial engineer to set the norms of estimation for my company, and after 2 months, I'll send him off. Similarly with cost accountant. You know, this consultancy organization have been doing a lot of service, and they make available the required professionals for the required time. And another point I agree with you, is that, you know, we don't have to employ them fully. And now, we have a software organization, we can call in an industrial engineer. You know, there is an institution in America, American Institute of Industrial Engineers. They have a professional association, and we can tap them, come here, study our organization, give us the norms for estimation, and we will pay you. They will do that and go away. We don't have to employ them. And of course, there are large organizations. For example, IBM is there, Microsoft is there, now Computer Sciences Corporation. These are all very, very large companies. In our country, we have Infosys, we have Tata Consultancy Services, we have Wipro. These are, you know, employing 50,000, 60,000 people and executing nearly 100 to 1,000 projects a year. I think volumes are there, at least in these large companies. They certainly can employ these people. Even they are not employed. Even they are not asking these people to set the norms. That is the reason for not developing the estimation norms. As you can see, FPA came from IBM Dell Labs, and use case came from Rational Software, and Dr. Barry Beam introduced the COCOMO model. These are all computer science people. None of them had been either costing model nor industrial engineering background. Industrial engineers have been setting productivity and productivity norms in every industry except software industry. Even in computer manufacturing, they are setting the estimation norms except in software. The software has been from the beginning projected as a very complex activity and did not employ these people. Yes, I agree. When the function point analysis came, the complexity was there. You know, the random access memory in the computer was limited, and you had to fit the programs to fit the available memory. In the 512 KB, that was a large computer in those days, if you remember, and some of it was taken up for the operating system and the compiler and the loader and the executor. The remaining portion only we have to put our program and the data, and opening another file meant starting another tape drive. And if you want to put another input, there is another card reader you have to start. You know, those days, programming was complex, and a 20 MB disk was a dream. Now, ordinary PCs, laptops have 1 gigabyte of RAM and 120 gigabyte of disk. Now, opening another file, you don't even think the young boys who are doing programming now do not know what is opening another file. And when we say, you know, economize resources, they simply don't understand. That is why now a time has come. Now the resources, hardware resources, are no more a limitation. And therefore, volumes are there, at least in large companies. I can think of at least 30 to 40 big software organizations which can try out these and come out with norms.
In your opinion, what does it take to create a good estimate?
A good estimate, Tom, you know, first thing that the estimator should know is the knowledge of the domain in which the software has to be developed. Supposing I am asked to develop a software for material management. If I do not know anything about material management, I will not be able to estimate. I should be able to, first of all, break the work of this material management into its constituent components. Then I will have to see how to develop software and what are the components that are likely to come in. So for this, the first thing is having domain knowledge. Now, to have the domain knowledge, somebody must have already worked on it. Unless somebody has worked on it, the knowledge will not be there. Now, this is a scenario, this is a dilemma. If we have the knowledge, we can estimate. And if we want to have the knowledge, we have to work. Now, to break this, now I have three sources. One, in my own organization, there are senior colleagues. Perhaps one or two of them have worked on the domain, so I can sit with them, take the knowledge, and make the estimate. Second, otherwise, if I have to do material management or marketing software estimation, go to a functional expert who is your marketing manager or procurement manager or material manager, take from them the specification, sit with them, understand, and then develop. Of course, third, we have another source, internet. Go to any free software, shareware sites, download a freeware, learn from that, and apply it and estimate. That is the first thing. Second thing is, we need to use a proper size estimation measure. Function points or use case points or object points or FPA mark to select one, learn about it. We have to have proper knowledge about it and then use that. That is second aspect that is required to make a good estimate. Third, having made it, we have to make a diligent effort at making it. Get it reviewed by at least one person. The reviewer must be selected so that he has software knowledge as well as the domain knowledge. If we can't get one person, better get it reviewed by one functional expert for the completeness of the requirements and a software expert for completeness of software requirements. These two things will give us a proper estimate. First, functional knowledge of the domain. Second, good review. With these two, we can definitely come out with a good and as far as possible, as accurate as possible estimate.
Size in the discussion that we've had so far is a critical component. You've mentioned function points. You've made an allusion to lines of code earlier. Why is size so critical in your estimation?
Size is critical for two things. First, to have an agreement with the customer saying that, you know, this is the amount of software I deliver at this cost. And second, the size is important to know how much resources we are spending and to arrive at the productivity. And if productivity has to be arrived at, productivity is output divided by input. Now, it is like time and distance. If you know the distance and speed, we know the time it takes. Okay, and the speed is the rate, that is the productivity. So we know the time, and to get the productivity, we have to have the size. Then we know our employees are producing. Without a productivity measure, we will not be able to compare the efficiency and effectiveness of the work being carried out by our executives, or benchmark it with other industry and say, okay, our efficiency is good. Without a productivity, I simply cannot say productivity. I cannot say whether my people are working well or not. I may say I have developed the CRM application in 5 person years. Somebody says I have developed the CRM application in 3 person years. Now, when we see this, that 3 person years, did he cut this functionality or used better efficiency? To arrive at this, we need productivity. If we need productivity, we need size. Without size, we can't have productivity. And without productivity, we cannot assess how efficiently or effectively we are utilizing our resources and our people are working. Benchmarking is also not possible. In a benchmarking, increasing the efficiency, these are the things by which we can reduce the cost and make it cheaper for our clients, giving the same quality. So, to agree with the customers and to assess our own efficiency and arrive at the productivity, we need size.
Future events and the next Spamcast. The segment of Spamcast features appearances, presentations, news and comments, and a preview of the next Spamcast. I have a couple of free webinars coming up in early 2008. The first is Getting Performance Improvement Out of Your Software Process Improvement on Wednesday, April 23rd, 2008, 10 a.m. through 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The second is titled Cost-Effective Approach to Enterprise-Wide Software Process Improvement on May 22nd, 2008, 10 a.m. through 11:30 a.m. again. Eastern Standard Time. More information registration can be found at www.itmpi.org/webinars. On the next Spamcast, I'm trying something a little different. I'm breaking up parts 1 and 2 of my interview with Murali and beginning a 2-part interview with Rob Donlan of QPMG, covering a wide range of measurement and process topics. We'll pick back up with Murali on show 32, and then on show 33, have the second part of Rob.
Your thoughts and comments on breaking these up will be very helpful as I'm seeing more and more two-part interviews. Your thoughts and comments on anything else are always a welcome addition to the Software Process and Measurement Cast. Remember, all Spamcast episodes are available. If you have issues downloading them, let me know at spamcastinfo@gmail.com. Voice messages can be left at 1-206-888-6111. It's my intent to share all emails and voice messages. The Spamcast blog and show notes can be found at www.spamcast.com. Your comments, questions, rants are appreciated and will help facilitate a dialogue and build a community. Let me know the topics you'd like to have covered and the people you'd like me to interview. Get involved. Final request. Recommend Spamcast to a friend or post a review on iTunes. The music on Spamcast is made available by the PodSafe Music Network at www.podshow.com. The featured song is by 2012 and is titled Last Battle. Information on the band can be found at www.myspace.com/2012vision.com. 2012 does an incredible job with experimental electronica. 2012 does an incredible job with experimental electronica. Be sure to support 2012 and all PodSafe artists. Spamcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license. Remember, if process improvement is a never-ending journey, why do so many people ask, when will we arrive? See y'all in 2 weeks.